to Titus chapter 1. And I want to look at verses 1 through 4. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifest his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. I want to use for subject, saved to serve. Saved to serve. In this greeting, which is unique from other greetings by Paul in other epistles, is filled with doctrinal truths. Most of his greetings begin with acknowledging who he is, his relationship to God and to Christ. He is a servant of God and he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. Normally, he will go to verse 4, and then after acknowledging who he is, he would say to Titus, stating who the epistle is from, his relationship, then to the person to whom he is writing, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. In reading this, I was caught by the emphasis of doctrine in his greeting. Why would he want us to know why he was an apostle of Jesus Christ? All he had to do was just say, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. But he felt compelled to tell us and to tell Titus that I am an apostle according to the faith of God's elect. I am an apostle acknowledging the truth, but this truth is with godliness. I am an apostle, but I'm an apostle in hope of eternal life. In these last days, it has been manifested to me to preach this word, and that you and I will know that it comes from a God that cannot lie. And he promised before the world began this great truth. Someone commenting about this particular passage of Scripture said that what Paul is doing is he is showing you how thankful he is that he's been saved. For he was one who persecuted the church and one who desired to bring destruction to Christ. But the Lord met him on the Damascus road and said, Saul, Saul, you're fighting a fight that you can't win. It's hard for you to kick against what God has ordained from the very beginning. And so he was saved. But he also wanted us to know that not only did he save me, but he saved me to serve. And so in his writing, his service is about the elect of God. His service is about acknowledging the truth. His service is about this truth has to be according to godliness. May I say to you that any truth that does not have with it godly living, that's not truth. You and I need to understand that God is a God who makes promises. When I read that statement by the gentleman who said that he wanted to share with Titus that he was saved to serve, he really wanted Titus to know, Titus, you're living in Crete. And Crete is known for immorality, is known for people who really have disrespect for godliness. And Titus, you've been saved. You're a Gentile. You've been saved in order to serve. And so I'm saying to us this morning, what about you? Are we not all part of this great body, having been saved? But it's important that we know that we've been saved to serve. Here's what a preacher said, and I thought this was interesting. He said, when a person is hired for a job, they're not hired to be given benefits. One is hired to benefit the company. Based on job performance, one receives benefits. The health, the dental, the vision insurance. One has certain holidays and vacation pay. All of that comes. They don't hire you to give you that. They hire you because they want you to benefit the company. May we also understand that while there are great benefits that the Lord has for the saints of God, God did not save us just to give us benefits. God has saved us to serve. May I illustrate this when he says, the elect, the faith of God's elect. Why does he use the word elect? The word elect is another way of saying someone is saved. But let me tell you why elect is so important. Because election in the Bible has to do with God favoring some individuals above others. Election is God favoring some group, one group above other groups. It's according to God's sovereign choice. God looks and he says, I want this one, but I don't want that one. You and I are here today because God has elected you to be here. You didn't get here because you were so good. God in his sovereign will decided that you were going to be saved. And you're going to have to understand that it's a blessing when God elects. Election not only involves God's sovereign choice, but it also involves predetermination. And it also is predestination. Those of us who are part of this elect group know that it is part of predestination. It's part of God predetermining. We're not here by accident. We're here because God, before the world began, decided that I wanted a group of people above other people in which I would be able to be glorified, and through me and through them, they will be able to save a lost world. May I illustrate to you examples of election? When God created Adam and Eve, God did it by choice. When God made Adam, it was his choice. When he brought Eve, he did it by choice. This is a way of being saved, created by God. But did God do it just for them to receive benefits? No, ma'am, no, sir. While they benefited from the world, God wanted them to serve. God wanted them to have sovereignty over his creation. They were to rule his creation. Oh, I created you, but I want you to serve in the capacity. God says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. No one called by God saved by God is not saved by God to work, to serve, and to have a responsibility. Illustrated again, when God called Noah, God made choice of Noah. Out of all of the people in the world, God selected Noah. But in choosing Noah and in saving Noah, God had a responsibility for him to serve him. Why did you choose Noah? I need him to build me an ark. I need him to do it according to my specification. I need him to do it out of the material that I tell him to do it. I need him to go and bring the animals, clean and unclean, into this ark before I destroy the world. I saved you, Noah, but I saved you to serve. Here's another man by the name of Abram. God called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees. Why are you saving him from idolatry? Why are you bringing him into a relationship with you? Bringing him into a relationship that he might serve me. It is through him that I'm going to bless all the families of the earth. When he comes, he is to instruct his children after him, that they might walk in my ways. In other words, Abram, why does God save you? I save you, Abram, in order to serve me. God is on record, having made choice in the Old Testament. God made a choice for Isaac above Ishmael. God made a choice for Jacob above Esau. God made a choice for Judah above his other 11 brethren. God made a choice for Joseph in order that he might serve him in Egypt and save the Jewish nation. God made a choice for Moses, but it was to serve him. God made a choice for Joshua over Caleb. Why didn't he just choose Joshua and Caleb? No, I need Joshua to be the one to go and to save my people. Whenever God made a choice, even when he made a choice for David, King David, over King Saul, it was for him to serve him. Nowhere in Scripture, nowhere has God ever saved a people for people just to receive benefits. Amen. God always saves his people in order that they might serve him in a mighty way. That's why I know in this text, when Paul addresses his purpose for being an apostle, he says the faith of God's elect. I'm so glad that he said the faith of God's elect. He's talking about Christians. He's talking about you and me. We are in the same category of all those in the past who have been elected by God. It's a very special position that God brings us into. But if you see this as just being here to benefit from God, to receive from God, God doesn't want that. God needs you to understand that you're to serve him. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13. Watch the Bible. Put that on the screen. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 13. I know that when he says the faith of God's elect, he's talking about Christians. Watch what the Bible says. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God, here it is, hath from what? Come on, say it with me. God hath from the what? The beginning done what? Chosen you. To what? To salvation through sanctification of the what? Spirit and the what? The belief of the truth. And watch the next verse, verse number 14. Whereunto he did what? He called you, but he called you by our what? By our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay right there. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. The elect of God are those individuals who have been called by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are the elect of God. When Paul talked about the faith of God's elect, that's exactly what he was talking about. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Put that on the screen, Ephesians 2 and verse number 8. I want to show you that God calls us, but he calls us to serve him. In verse number 8, he says, for by grace are you saved. There's our word. For by grace are you saved. Through what? Faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse number 9, he says, not of works, lest any man should what? Boast. Verse 10 is what I want. For we are his what? Workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which God hath what? Before ordained that we should what? Walk in them. Hold it right there. God, yes, you've selected men and you have made a choice for certain men. But I never choose a man unless he becomes my workmanship. Never choose anyone and they become my elected unless they are involved in good works, unless they are involved in those things by which I have commanded that they may walk in those things. So I'm saying to us in this auditorium and to the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ, we are saved to serve, and we're saved in order that God might be glorified and that God might be able to share himself with other people who have yet to come to a knowledge of him. Do not come here thinking that all you need to do is to just show up for service. No. He doesn't need you singing, standing on the promises, but sitting on the premises. The Lord wants you. He wants you to get busy working for him. When you think in terms of Paul, Paul knew that he was an apostle. God called this man that he might serve him in the preaching of the gospel. God could have saved him and not given him apostleship, but God specifically chose him, one of the chief sinners, in order that he might be able to share. And he understood that my responsibility is to the faith of the elect of God Almighty and for the acknowledging of the truth. You and I are involved in that. Go with me to Titus chapter 1 and verse number 4 and watch this again. Paul wanted Titus to understand, Titus, you have been called and you have a responsibility to serve. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. May I answer the question, Brother Gibbs, what is it that we must be involved in serving God in? Well, let me say to you, well, he never would have said the faith of the elect. In other words, the elect are involved in the service of the faith of God. When God elects you, he wants you to be involved in the faith of his calling. Well, the faith has two ways for us to see it. Number one, it is the objective word of God. It is the scripture. This is the revealed word of God. The faith is what God has given to us in the scripture. How can you prove that, Brother Gibbs? Glad you asked me. Jude chapter 3, when I gave reason to write unto you concerning the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you that ye might earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto you. God has given us the faith. Prove it, Brother Gibbs. In Ephesians 4 and verse number 4, there is one Lord and one faith. That one faith is not our individual faith, but it is the scripture, the word of Almighty God. God has called us to be the faith of the elect. The faith of the elect are those who promote the scripture that are given to the promoting of the word of God. There's no one else in the world that's going to promote the truth, that's going to acknowledge the truth, other than those of us who have been called. When you think in terms of promoting the truth, tell people, be grateful that I'm elected of God to serve him by sharing the word of Almighty God. Share it in your home. Share it on your job. Share it in your neighborhood. Share it on the bus. Amen. Share it in the mall. Amen. Share it everywhere you go. Amen. They wear caps on all of these different campaigns to try to get you to buy into their philosophy and to buy into their candidate. Amen. I want us to recognize we're not Republican and we're not Democrats. We live in a world that has these affiliations, but you and I are Christians. You and I are disciples of God. God has called us to promote the truth, tell the truth. I know the culture in which we live doesn't like the truth. I know it compromises the truth, but I'm elect of God. I'm chosen of God. I've been saved of God. Shame on me if I don't tell it like it ought to be told. Tell the world that I believe the Bible. Tell the world I believe in God. Tell them that the word of God is the standard for my home. Tell them that I'm a husband after the standard of God. Tell them I'm a wife after the standard of God Almighty. Be proud of the fact that I am the elect of God Almighty. Share His truth. Now we can share it as the Ephesian epistle said, share it in love, teach in love, preach in love, share it in love, but you cannot give in to the culture. We have been elected by God. Serve God if you've been saved. Tell them and don't be ashamed of that. Well, as I close, let me close with 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse number 1. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse number 1. Brother Gibbs, what is it that we should be serving God in? Well, here it is again. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he didn't have a lot of doctrine in this greeting. And that's because he is recognizing that there's a difference in Thessalonica and in those people that are in Crete. But watch this now. Verse number 2. Watch what the Bible says. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. Verse number 3. Watch what the Bible says. Remembering you without ceasing. Here it is. Your work of faith. We got to work at this thing. And we got to get up every morning knowing that I got a faith to uphold. I got a faith to believe in God Almighty. Labor in love. Dealing with people. I know the word is one thing, but dealing with people is another thing. The only way I'm going to make it is to have a labor of love. That is our responsibility. Serve God, loving the people that are around us, and then being patient of the hope that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has promised us that He's going to give us eternal life. I know it gets hard. It gets hard for me, and it gets hard for many children of God to stay faithful and to continue to be involved in the labor for the Lord. Many times you just want to give up. You say, well, it just doesn't look like it's working for me. I just believe that I ought to just go ahead and just do like I thought I should have done with my first mind. Well, don't let your first mind get you in trouble. No. You stay with God Almighty and remember that I got to work at this thing and I got to just keep working at my home and keep working in my family, keep working in my relationship with everybody. And when you do that, know that there are some great benefits that come your way. Know that it's not going to be in this life. Know that it's got to be in the life to come. All I want to do is encourage you to keep on working and don't give up. I know you get tired, but keep on working and know that I've been saved in order to serve. Amen. Serve Him in His word. Serve Him in your worship. Serve Him in all of the things that God has asked you to do. And when you do that, ladies and gentlemen, know that the Lord will save you and also give you tremendous benefits. But the benefits don't come in this world. I know somebody said, well, Brother Gibbs, there are some benefits in this world. I know that there are some benefits in the world, but they're much harder to see and realize than the benefits that's going to come after this life. If a man is really faithful and mature, then he'll understand that there is and there are benefits in this world. That's because of your interpretation. And as Brother Washington said, it's your mindset. If you can get your mind right, then you can see a blessing in everything that happens to you. Am I right about that? But I got news for you. Listen to me. That there are some benefits that's going to come that you'll be able to see with your eyes and know for a fact that it was worth my living and doing what God has asked me to do. It was the Apostle Paul who said that now the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. But here's what he said. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's a crown of life. Am I right about it? A crown of life that is stored up for me, laid up for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, not to me only, but to all them that love his appearance. If you just hold on, die in serving the Lord. One day you'll wake up and you'll see how much blessing and benefit it is in serving God Almighty. I want you to hold on till you die. I know that it's going to be hard and it won't be easy, but hold on, because you're God's elect. God has never elected somebody and not given them the power to be able to carry out his will. Every time God called a man, he gave him the ability to do what God asked him to do. Somebody ought to ask, ask Moses, did God give you the ability? Yes, he did. Ask Abraham, did God give you the ability? Yes, he did. Ask Joseph, did God give you the ability? Yes, he did. Ask David, did God give him the ability? Yes, he did. Everybody that God has ever called, God has given them the ability. Hold on to the end. Hold on. Blessed are the dead which what? Die in the Lord. And folks said the Spirit, they may what? Rest from their labor, and their work will follow them. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown. Hold on. Hold on. You're God's elect. Save him, because I've been saved by God Almighty. That's my lesson this morning. That's my lesson. I just want to encourage you. Hold on. Stay in there and keep fighting the good fight of faith. God has a blessing. Well, the song leader's made his way up here. Come on, let's sing, song leader. Come on. If you're here, before you stand, you want to be in this elect group. Here's the way you got to, this is the way you get into the elect group. You got to hear the gospel. You got to hear the gospel. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why Paul had no problem in preaching, because he knew that in preaching, people would hear the good news of Jesus Christ. The elect are in Jesus Christ. Oh, somebody said, well, Brother Gibbs, how is it that God chooses some and he doesn't choose others? No. If you follow God, God's intent from the very beginning was to save the whole world in Jesus Christ. Christ is the one through whom all the world is going to be saved. Someone said, well, Brother Gibbs, how is that predestined and predestinated? Let me help you with that. You see, God predestined long ago that he would save the world through Christ. But the reason that he made all those choices for those individuals in the Old Testament was to bring the seed of Jesus Christ through those individuals. He chose Abraham that the seed might come through him. He chose Isaac that the seed might come through him. He chose Jacob, that the seed might come through him. He chose Judah that the seed might come through him. He chose all of those because he was bringing the Christ into the world. And when Jesus comes into the world, he gives his gospel to the whole world. And whosoever believeth in him should not be saved, but have everlasting life. So we are the elect. We heard the gospel. We believe it. And so there, I am elect of God. I'm saved of God Almighty. Somebody said, well, I still don't see it, brother. Let me help you again. Do you not know that many of these fraternities, they are predetermined? Many of these fraternities in colleges, they are predetermined. Am I right about it?
Yep.
And they are predestined. In other words, they're already there and already know what they're all about.
Right.
You've got to qualify to get in. Amen. They're open, but you qualify to get in. Somebody say, well, Brother Gibbs, what are you saying? I'm saying this, that you got to qualify to get into Jesus.
Amen.
The world can be saved in Christ, who is predestined, who is the predetermined Savior of the world.
Amen.
But to get in him, you got to hear the gospel. Believe it with all of your heart. Except you believe that I'm he, you're dying your sin, and where I am, you cannot come. Then you're going to have to repent. He said, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you're going to perish. At the time of this ignorance, God winked, but now he commanded men everywhere to repent. You're going to have to repent. Then confess him to be the Son of God. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. With the mouth of man makes confession unto Christ.
Amen.
The mind, he's able to believe in Jesus Christ.
Yep.
But here's what I want you to see. Baptism is that final act, that final step that puts you into the elect, puts you into the saved
Amen.
Group, where all of the benefits come to those who serve him. When a man is baptized, the Lord washes his sins away. Acts 2:38 and Acts 22:16. Listen to me well. It's not the water that washes it away, but it's when you get in the water and respond in obedience
Amen.
That God in heaven wipes your slate clean. God then makes it where you've never sinned in your life.
Amen.
Some of you need a new start. Some of you know that you got some stuff that you need to get taken care of.
Amen.
Will you become one of God's elect? That's the blessing. Don't have time to go into all of it, but it's a blessing. This is part of the blessing of being in Christ, one of the elect. Your sins are forgiven you. You become an adopted child of God. You become all that God wants you to be, but it's because of your relationship in Christ Jesus. I'm begging you, if you're not a child of God and you haven't responded to make the Lord Jesus Christ part of your life, I'm begging you to do that. That's why we preach. That's my service. Preaching is my service. He called me from my birth. I know that to be a fact.
Amen.
He called me at my birth to preach the gospel.
Yes,
I'm a preacher before I'm anything else.
Amen.
God intended that I preach. I know that now. It took me all these years, but I don't know anything else but preaching.
Amen.
He wouldn't even let me play football. Amen. Because he didn't want me getting caught up in football. Preach, Shelton. He didn't even let me run the women. Amen. Amen. I mean the girls. Preach, Shelton. Made me ugly. Preach, Shelton. Am I right about it? Am I right about it? He fixed it where I can't do nothing but preach. That's my service to Almighty God. Now, what's your service? Amen. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy, but I ain't crazy. I know what I just said. And I don't think I'm that ugly either, but amen. But anyway, amen. You don't see all this here, you know, I think I'm all that ugly. No, no. I got something going on, amen. I got that pretty girl right there. Amen, amen, amen. I got to stop. I thought I'd straighten that out. Amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. But don't miss with my point. Somebody needs to come to Jesus. Jesus makes us brand new. You become one of those elect. You get in him, serve him. Acknowledge the truth. Let it be known that it's in godliness. And then make sure that you know what he has promised you. He will not go back on his promise. He will fulfill his promise because God cannot lie. And so that's the hope that we have. Will you come to him? If you straight away, will you rededicate your life? Come right now. While together we stand and sing, will you come?
Just as I am without one but at thy blood wash on me and at thou is